Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Well, Dr. Hoover's right. There is a balance problem. It's not my hearing. But there was no balance problem on the special music, was there? Just a beautiful piece. It's very melodic. You see why it brings tears to Mr. Budge's eyes. And, you know, there's that lovely line. And I don't fear, it says. Why? Why do we not fear when the world and things around us seem to cloud? And I think I would like to key off of that as we open our Bibles today for the message. And I think it's because we realize that God has granted us a blessing. We, as Mr. Josephick is looking back on life and he's saying, hey, look, we started here and we ended here and we judge God right and just. But sometimes, you know, as we're living that life and we're going through the everydayness of it, we need reminded of the intent and purposes of God to do something in our lives. You know, we need to remind ourselves that God has more than our best interest at heart. And so he's offered a blessing for us. If you'll turn with me to Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27, we see a very interesting piece of scripture, because it says in verse 22 of Numbers 6, and the Lord spoke to Moses, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, you the priest, let the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they, the priests, shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. It's a lovely phrase. It reads well. Many people in the Jewish community, I have a chiropractor who every time I leave, he puts his hands on my head and he says, may the Lord bless and keep you. And he rattles the other part. He's so intellectual, so fast that you can never hear the rest of it. But he means well. It's a lovely sentiment. But it's more than a sentiment, my friends. What's interesting to me here is it says in verse 22, God spoke to Moses. God spoke to Moses and said, you know, there's something that needs to happen. When my people come together and when my people go to depart, God said, I want something said. I want something conveyed. That God said, I am their God and I want to do something for them. And they need to go live life understanding that I have asked for this to be done. You know, how do you bless people? How do we bless our families? We seek the providence, the intervention of God, do we not? You know, Matthew Henry makes a comment about this section of scripture. Matthew Henry says, though the priest of himself could do nothing more than beg a blessing, yet being an intercessor by office and doing that in his name who commands the blessing, the prayer carried with it a promise. The prayer carried with it not just a promise, it carried a pronouncement as one having authority with his hands lifted up and his face towards the people. Matthew Henry captures it, I think, well. That, you know, the priest could do nothing more. If the priest and Moses had come and said, well, God, what do we do next? God, I think we need something. You know, we need a filler here. Okay? You know, we've had some special music. We've had these things. We need a filler. Today's service wasn't too good or something. You know what I mean? All the priest could do would be to beg a blessing. But now the priest gets to stand there because God said, I want you, priest, to bless my people this way. You see, it wasn't at the instance of the priest. It was at the instance, the thought of God. So when we judge God able to help us over our trials, when we judge God fair to call us and to have his Bible and these things open to us, we judge him rightly because he, as we read in the scripture in the sermonette, he first loved us. You see, this is about first cause. God chose, I want to do something for my people. I want to do something for their hearts, their minds, their souls, their vision about what the world can and will be like. And so I would like to go through these verses today because there's rich meaning in the words that are in them. Matthew Henry makes the comment as well. He says, in thinking all this through, the people must prepare themselves to receive the blessing. You know what I mean? When they would see the priest stand and then he would stand up and the people were about to depart and he would hold up his hands and he says, and the Lord God said, the people prepared their hearts and minds to say, I'm about to get the words of God in my life. And that's a very interesting place to come from. You know, there's a commentator off of Blue Letter Bible, or it might be Bible Hub, by David Guzik. And he makes the comment here, in overviewing these just three, four verses, something is said six times. It said, beginning in verse 24, the Lord said, I will bless you. I want to keep you. The Lord wants his face to shine upon you. He wants to be gracious to you, not just your neighbor. The Lord wants his countenance to come into your life. Six times God's interested in you. Not the collective you, the individual you who's lonely sometimes, who knows nowhere to go sometimes. God wants to talk to you and me. At church, we talk a lot about the us, the collective you. This verse is about you and your walk with God. And I think he makes a great point. God wants to not just bless everybody. He wants to bless you. And truly, we would judge him fair that he has truly blessed us, or we would not be sitting here, right? We judge him just and care. I mean, we actually pinch ourselves and say, why do I get to see these things? Why do I see that God is the master creator? Why do I feel that those stars in the heaven are just this beautiful tapestry out there? Laurel and I were talking one day, I don't know how we got onto it. And I said, isn't it be interesting? What would the canopy look like at night without the stars? It would just be blackness. I don't know about you, but in the 94 earthquake, when we woke up and went outside after all the lights were off in Los Angeles, and for the first time ever, you could see all the stars. I mean, there wasn't any light to be had for 50 miles, was there? It lit up the sky. But God wants to bless you and me. So to talk about this, we need to start and understand, and we're going to go through some Hebrew words. I will not apologize for that because they're fun. You'll enjoy me. Let's go along for the ride. So first of all, what does it mean to bless? The Hebrew word for bless is barak. We would say in the English, B-A-R-A-K, barak. It comes from the primitive root word to invoke figuratively and literally the concept of kneeling. And you say to me, Frank, wait a minute. God wants to bless me, meaning they use the very word that conveys a kneeling? That's true. You see, there's many scriptures in the Bible that talk about these types of things. But it means by implication for us, usually, we'll say, there's a lovely hymn that says, bless the Lord, O eternal, O my soul. It means literally to bless, the very concept of blessing as in kneel our hearts, kneel our ways, kneel our very nature of who we are to what? To adore the one who put the stars out there, to who created the DNA structure, to created us as human beings. And so we want to convey that. But do we ever think about it from the implication that he uses the word, the Hebrew word barak here, may the Lord kneel, bless you. It means to literally, in the concept of to kneel down, to salute, to come to you where you are. The eternal. Saying he wants to, not, I don't mean as in get down and kneel before you as in a God. He wants to kneel his way. This is a huge conveyance to me that I had never really grasped before. You know, turn over with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, we see the word Barak used, and it demonstrates its double meaning, literally and figuratively. In 2 Chronicles 6, verse 13, 2 Chronicles 6 and verse 13, you see, Solomon is about to dedicate the temple, and he builds a platform there before the temple. In verse 12, it says, Solomon stood by the altar of the Lord, chapter 6, 2 Chronicles, and he says, in the presence of all the assembly of Israel, he spread out his hands, remembering the invocation, the command of number 6, I submit to you, just as the priest would do it. And he holds out his hands, for Solomon had made a bronze platform. It was 5 cubits long, it was 5 cubits wide, and it was 3 cubits high. And he set it in the midst of the court, and he stood on it, and then he kneeled down. He barak. He physically knelt. But here, my friends, the word for kneel down is barak, to kneel. It conveys the literal interpretation and use of the word. But notice what it says. But he knelt down on his knees before all the assembly of the Israel. Knees is the word barak, B-A-R-E-K. You see, the very emotion of kneeling down, the physical element of barak, on his knees, the conveyance is so rich because it didn't mean it was to literally invoke the blessing, the kneeling of God, the bending of God towards his people by his insistence. Not by their begging, that God said, I will barak, I will bless you. I, the eternal, the sustainer, the creator of all, want to do something for you. You know, one of the translations of the Hebrew into the Latin, it uses the word benedicere. It means, we get the modern English word, the benediction, the closing of something. And they use that word with respect to bless, to benedict, from this very concept of God leaning forward. You know, in Psalm 95, verse 6, it says, oh, come, let us kneel before Jehovah, our Maker. Let us barak before our Maker because of who he is. But get this. We do that out of an awareness that God leaned himself forward. He barak because he chose to desire to bless his people. Now, in verse, going back over to Numbers, this is where those lovely ribbons come handy in your Bible. But I hear far less turning of pages these days because everybody's got an electronic version. I think I'm going to put a beep at the end of your phrase so I know when you've reached the verse in your iPad, Samsung device or tablet. Don't want to give any preference to any specific company here. I don't know personal endorsements. There's no flashing banners across the podium. Every time you look at a banner, an ad or something, now there's a banner ad, right? Advertising is everywhere. Okay. Verse 24, the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord barak, kneel, as it were, bend towards you to help. Jameson Fawcett Brown makes a comment that says, because of this benediction, though pronounced by the lips of a fellow man, derived its virtue not from the priest. It derives its virtue from God. What an encouraging assurance that God says, I want to bless you. Now, the next part of this verse is very fascinating. God says, it says, the Lord bless you, the Lord barak, kneel towards you, bend his way towards you, and keep you. Keep is such a seemingly innocent word, but keep in the Hebrew is shamar. We would English spell it S-H-A-M-A-R, shamar. It means to guard, to keep watch. May the Lord keep watch over you. May the Lord, it means to protect you, to observe you, to keep you, to retain you, to become your warder. May the Lord treasure up you. To be one's guard, literally, is to be a shamar, to be guarded by you. Matthew Henry makes the comment about shamar, and it says that the fruits of this favor conveyed by its blessing are a protection, a pardon, and a peace. So may the Lord bless you. May He come to you. May you get the sense that He's coming to you and that He may be your guard, your retainer, your warder, the one who will keep you. May shamar, may keep, mean evermore to us as we think about God's desire to be near us. As we go on in verse 25, it says, "The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you." You know, in the Hebrew, this verse is very fascinating because in the Hebrew, there's only four words in this verse. Only four words. The King James translators, I think, did a wonderful job of trying to convey the essence of the Hebrew four words. But it has Jehovah, meaning the Lord, Paim, meaning face, our, which means to shine, and Cha'an, which means to be gracious. Jehovah, Paim, or, and Cha'an. Cha'an. A very rich conveyance because, you see, Paim means the face. It means the part of the face that turns in its will, in its desire, in its ability, its inherent want to see something, figuratively. It means literally to turn. You know, we don't think of God turning with His face to see us, do we? Often. It means may the God's face turn with us no matter where we go. Do we really want that? I pause to ask. Do we want God everywhere we go, physically, mentally, spiritually? A lot of times we leave Him behind. You know, we don't really want His face there. You know, we want to be mad. We want to be mischievous, you know, if you're seven, you know. Oh, not just 7 years old or mischievous, are they, Mr. Joseph? No. Okay. I get to pick on him. Do we really want God to see us all the time? Oh, when we're hurting, we want Him to see us. But if we're going to understand what He means by doing this, by having His face turned towards us, we must grasp the fact that God wants in His very will to come with us no matter where we go. And that is very rich. Turn over with me to Genesis chapter 32. In Genesis 32, we see this concept of the face in such a wonderful piece of scripture. It's a great account in chapter 32 of Genesis. Here, Jacob has been away for a long, long time from Canaan. And so Jacob is coming home. And so the night before he's to try to meet Esau, Jacob has this wrestling match. Starting in verse, you can see it, you know, and they're wrestling. And it's not just any wrestling match, because after verse 23, I'll give you the sense for it, he sent all the little ones and his wives and the flocks over the stream and sent them before to kind of soften up his brother. But then Jacob was left alone, and a man, notice the King James translation, capitalized the M, because it's man, it's God in the flesh, wrestled with him until the breaking of day. You see, Jacob had spent his life wanting God. He wanted the blessing of God. He took for himself, with his mother's help, the birthright, the physical blessing, and now he wants the favor from his brother. He wants the blessing of God. And notice what happens. And now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, meaning God, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." And he, Jacob, said, "I will not let you go unless you barak me, unless you bless me, unless you look upon me, unless you bring all of what can happen because of you. I want it. I've wanted it my whole life, and now I'm face to face with you. I am Paim." Okay, notice what he says. And so now the guy who had been wrestling with him, Christ in the flesh, says what? He said to him, "What's your name?" What do you mean he's wrestling with all light? He knew his name. Why? When you're about to pronounce something, you say, "And what's your name?" Do you remember that? When you stood in the water of the baptismal pool and the minister said, "And what is your name?" Because you wanted God. And you said, "My name is first, middle, and last." And the minister said to you, "Repent of your sins." And you said, "Yes." You wanted God. You were wanting to prevail with God. That's what Jacob's doing here. And so, verse 28, and he said, God said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." And then Jacob saying to him, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "What is it that you should ask my name?" And he baraked him. He blessed him here. And so Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God Paim. I have seen God face to face. And my life is preserved. Just as he crossed over Paim, the sun rose on him and he limped off with his hip. I love that piece of the story. The author did not forget. He had to limp into the sunrise to get his children. And every limp and every step, he remembered that he had seen God, Paim, face to face. Paim really literally means facing God. And he put a pillar there to remind he and his heritage that he had chosen to follow God, to ask for God's blessing, to request it, to prevail. And God had granted it. A blessing, remember, that is conveyed and carried so many hundreds of years that when Joseph died, he said, "Remember me and do not let my bones sit in Egypt." Right? And in Genesis chapter 48, verse 3, the children of Joseph, the children of Israel, remembered and they took Joseph's bones home. Because they remembered that they all as a people desired to see God face to face. Have you seen God lately? Have you saw his face? Walking with you, talking with you. We must need that. You know, if you're a young person and you're trying to figure out school and life and where do I fit and, you know, what clothes do I wear? You know, what books do I carry and who am I friends with and what job do I get? I mean, it's mind-boggling. I get it. It's emotionally tough. And in the midst of it, God says, "My face will turn towards you if you will but just believe that I desire to see you." You know, the other part of this scripture is that Jacob wrestled. Jacob wrestled. Have we wrestled with God lately? Sometimes we want to wrestle lightly. And sometimes we're just too tired. Because I think we forget the you. We forget that it was God who desired to bless. It is God who created us not to have us grind away. It is God who created us to live. And he wanted the children of Israel to say, look, I want to bless you. I want to keep you. I want to see you. I want my face to see you. And when we remember Jacob having his name turned to Israel, Israel means what? It means to prevail. He prevailed. My friends, you and I have prevailed because God has answered our prayer in our weakest moment when we said, I am nothing, God. And God said, yes, I will forgive your sin. And he lifts us up. He forgives us our sin. And we know that that has truly changed who and what we are. And if you're young, if you're lonely, if you're not knowing your way, God will help you. God will see you through. Turn and let God's face shine. Shine, this part of this verse, Numbers, our. The word shine in Hebrews, O-W-R, we would spell in English. It means literally the light that shines. It means the break of day. It could also often be translated fire or glorious or kindle. Its primitive root is luminous. Remember how when Moses would go up to the mountain and they would come back and he just glowed. He glowed. He glowed so much they had to put a big, you know, piece of canvas, sheet or something across his head. He just glowed too much. It's like he absorbed. God's face had shined on him and he just glowed. May the Lord's face turn towards us and shine. May we become lights because of who and what God has done in our life. It's a conveyance from the Genesis, Hebrew and Chaldean lexicon, to become lights. And Genesis chapter 44, verse 3, uses shine, our, this way. It says, used of the lights of the eyes of a faint person when he begins to recover. Imagine what it's like to feel in darkness. And then watch God change us and give us light before our way. It's like you wake up in the morning and the sun's coming up and then you start to see again. It is God who wants us to see, wants us to shine, wants us to be luminous. Isaiah chapter 60, talking about the future. Think about this. What's God saying? Isaiah 60, the end of the age and right at the beginning of a new age to come. He describes it this way in Isaiah 60 in verse 1. He says to Israel, the children, the future of the world, he says, arise and shine. Arise and are. It's the same word. For your light has come. The light that saves our soul has come and shined on us. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. That's the conveyance of this barak, this blessing of prayer. Arise and shine. Isn't that a lovely conveyance? And how about over in Psalm 119, verse 135, it says, make your face to shine upon your servants and teach me of your statutes. You, God. God wants to make his face, his turning, shine upon you, be luminous to you. There's a conveyance of this in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Paul must have thought of these words when he wrote, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Paul's saying, when God comes into our life, it is luminous. It changes everything about who and what we are. And then we come to the last word of this verse. Cha'an. C-H-A-N-A-N. It means literally to be gracious. It means to stoop in kindness to an inferior, to show favor, to bestow. So when we read this verse and it says, the Lord make his face to shine, pa'im, on you, and be gracious to you, cha'an. You know, I remember years ago, it was 1985, and Queen Sirikit of Thailand was visiting in Pasadena at Ambassador College. And we had 5 formal events in 7 days. And one of the last events, she had a public address in the Ambassador Auditorium, and we had 1,262 guests, and she was there and gave a speech and a presentation, and afterwards we had a receiving line in the lower lounge, and she was there, and people were coming by, and these two ladies came up who were Thai citizens, immigrated to the United States, and in the very Thai culture, you always keep your head below that of the monarch to show deference and to show respect. But it doesn't quite convey it, because often in Thailand, the king and queen are so revered through their life of service, I say, and both the history of the monarchy, that the people always usually get down very low on the ground to convey absolute respect. And so they came through the door in the lower lounge there into the side room, and when they saw the queen, they just hit the floor. I mean, they went straight to the floor. I mean, they're in a dress, heels, everything. They're on the floor. And now we're all like, I mean, this is a little too much groveling in Western culture. Okay, I mean, come on. You know what I mean? Do we really have to show that much respect? You know what I mean? And so they were kind of crawling forward. And Queen Sirikit takes a half a step over. She reaches down, takes their hand, and says, "Get up. It's okay. We're in this culture. It's fine." She was gracious. See, so when it says in this verse that may the Lord shine, his face turn, shine, see you on the ground, and graciously pick you up, I think that's a great conveyance. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 19, it says, "He, God, will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer, because his face turned, heard, shined, and lifted you up." The Lord is truly very gracious. That is how we reflect on him. Well, verse 26, "The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." The Lord lift up his countenance. Now, countenance is a very interesting word here. Well, first of all, I got to get a word lift. You wouldn't think there are so many nuances to this, but may the Lord lift. Nash, Nasa, N-A-S-A. I always thought it meant NASA, you know, N-A-S-A, you know, never mind, okay. But I thought we're talking about light, shining, stars, you know, we could talk about it. Anyway, but it means to literally to lift up, to bear up, to take. Do we get the concept here that may the Lord lift up, may the Lord lift from what he's doing, lift what? His countenance. Countenance here is the same word as face, panim. It's literally that part of his will, his awareness, his conveyance of his inner being aware. I said aware, but I wanted another concept was, it's so figuratively, it's the same word, but I mean, he wants, as he lifts, you know, from what he's doing, he realizes where you are, and he lifts his face, his countenance, his very will and purpose. And notice, lift up his countenance upon you. Upon, as this Hebrew word means, som, S-U-W-M in English, som, it means to be upon. It means to literally set, to lay it upon, to set it in place, to fix it, to plant it. May God, if he was, lift up his face. And not just the shining of his face, but the will of his purpose. And may his countenance, his gaze, his very care shine. It may it set on you, like it comes upon your shoulders and you're looking face to face. And he says, "I want to barak, to bless you." You know, as I think about this, it's like that monarch, Queen Sirikit, acknowledging those people who still that night would not look her in the face. But they stood up. And God says to Israel, to Jacob, in the dark, he must have looked him face to face. That's what it said. I've seen God face to face. We've seen God face to face, and he judged us forgiven. truly we've been barak, blessed. It means here, may his gaze literally gaze towards us, and that all the blessing that we can convey, can muster to remember that is desired by God, comes and lays laying upon us. You know, over there in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2, talking about that future time, and it says, and his glory will be seen upon you. His panim, his countenance, his glory will be upon. It's that same word, meaning to sum, to rest on us. That's what we'll feel when he's returned, and we've seen his power, his presence, his love, and we'll realize it's upon us. It's here. We need to realize that it is here. It is upon us. We must see ourselves as God's people, blessed, fixed by his gaze. Now it says something else, and give you peace. May the Lord give you, we know what the word is. We all know what the word peace is, right? Shalom. But shalom is more than just shalom. In Israel, you hear it all the time. Shalom, 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 shalom. It's like we say, hi, 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 hi. It's shalom. But shalom is such a rich word. It's translated throughout the Bible all kinds of different ways. But it means may your very health, your prosperity, your favor, may you have good health, perfect health. May you be in peace. May you be rested. May you safely be whole. May his, when his countenance comes upon us in our want and our need, it's truly shalom. It's peace that rests upon our shoulders, our hearts, our souls. And now we too, barak, we too want to bend towards God who began this wonderful process to bless and keep us. So as we look at verse 27, so shall they put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. They shall, verse 27, the priest shall do what? The priest shall put upon, shall fix, to lay this blessing on the people. It's that same word of sum, to lay upon. And notice what he does with it. He says, so they shall put what? Not God's wishing, not God's hope, not God's well-intentionedness. The priest will put the name of God on you and me. This is what rests upon our life. The conspicuous name of God, that implication and honor that we belong to none other than the Creator. And none other than the Creator has desired and said, I want to bless my people. And notice what he says. I want to bless the children. The children of what? The children of Israel, which means the prevailer. To convey the fact that we have prevailed. We have prevailed through our sin and loneliness, and God has judged us worthy to receive his only begotten Son and has lifted us up as Jesus himself is resurrected and set us on our way. We need to remember the rich blessing that comes from God himself and his purpose. You know, in Acts chapter 3, verse 25, makes the comment, it says, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth will be blessed. But in verse 26, he says, and to you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you, conveying and bringing forward this very barak from the Old Testament. May him bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. It's the greatest blessing to happen in our life when God turns us from sin and we have it forgiven. The Lord's countenance has truly come upon us. If you wanted to bless your friends, your family, how would you do it? Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24, we see something that escaped me and I never saw it before. Till I looked into this lovely verses. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus is about to depart. Dead, buried, resurrected with the disciples for 40 days. And now it says here in verse 50, and he led them out as far as Bethany. They'd been in Jerusalem. They've gone over the edge. They're at the very top side of the Mount of Olives, that broad mountain on the east of the Temple Mount. And Jesus lifted up his hands and blessed them. Luke got it. Luke remembered number six, that the priest was to hold up his hands as the people were to depart. And Jesus, it says, lifted up his hands. And what? He blessed them. They had seen this blessing happen time and time again by the priests of God. He had done what? Jesus, no doubt, may have said, "May the Lord," he said, as he lifted his hands and looked into the faces of his disciples who had not just handled God, were now looking him face to face. Did he say the words, "May the Lord bless you and keep you"? Barak. May the Lord kneel towards you. And truly they felt knelt towards. If they had seen God in the flesh, had handled him and knew that he had been dead, buried, and resurrected and seen all these miracles and now were they to be witnesses of, they truly felt blessed. They truly felt like people out of time. And what? And keep you till I come again, did he not convey? And did not Jesus say, "Let the Lord look upon you"? May he turn his face towards you and shine upon you and be gracious and lift you up and help you out of your sin. May the Lord lift up his countenance, did Jesus say. His very thinking of how to bless you the best way possible. Did Jesus not say, as he rose in the air, "And give you shalom all the days of your life"? And so Jesus, the great prevailer, said to the disciples of old, as he says to you and me today, we have prevailed because he prevailed, and we rest solely upon his great miracle, the great gift of God, the God who said, "I want to barak, kneel my way and face towards you." As we kneel and rise each day, may we remember that God has placed his name not upon us, but upon you. And God has said, "I want to bless you forever and ever as I will bless mankind." The Eternal has truly given us a great blessing.